Our second reading is from Mark chapter 14. You can find it on page 1020 in the church Bibles. And there are Bibles under your seats. Linda Stenner is going to come and read that for us. And after this first reading, there'll be a short time of silence for your own reflection.
The reading is taken from Mark 14, 12 to 26. This will be found on page 1020 in the Church Bibles. The title of this reading is Predicted: Jesus Prophesies His Betrayal. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
The next reading is taken from Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42, can be found on page 1021 in the Pew Bibles, and it's titled, "Overwhelmed with Sorrow, Take This Cup From Me." They went to the place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
After the Passover meal, Jesus goes with his disciples to a garden called Gethsemane, and he becomes deeply troubled. He says to Peter, James, and John, his three closest disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." We already know from the Passover meal that Jesus is expecting to die. He understands his death to be of great meaning and significance. His deep distress is explained in the meaning of his prayer in verse 36. He prays to God the Father, "Take this cup from me. Take this cup from me." Imagine that while Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's given a cup to drink by God his Father. It's a cup of judgment. Jesus is going to drink down the judgment for our sins. It's a cup of shame and humiliation. Death by crucifixion was a truly shameful way to die. Killed as a criminal, lifted up by the side of the road, exposed for all to see. The cup is a picture of what Jesus is about to experience the next day. The cup is an image representing Jesus' passion on our behalf. Not just a humiliating crucifixion, but facing the judgment of God, his Father. When you start to think about the meaning of this, it becomes difficult to grasp the depths of it. Jesus is filled with sorrow at the awful ordeal that is before him. He prays that God might take this cup from him. Jesus doesn't want to go to his death, but he finishes his prayer, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." And in this is a model of submission for us who follow Jesus. Not my will, God, but your will. And this is what we say every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. We're asking for God's will all over the earth, but we're asking for his will in our own lives as well. So may God empower us by his Spirit to follow Jesus' example in submitting to God and God's will for our lives, day by day, week by week, year by year. May God lead us to do his will.
Our next reading continues in Mark chapter 14, verses 43 to 50. It's page 1021. Betrayed, arrested, and deserted. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled.
Jesus has been betrayed by one of his closest followers. The forces against Jesus at that moment were not just out there. It wasn't just the world against Jesus, but from within his inner circle, one of the 12 became his betrayer. Judas greets him, "Rabbi, teacher," and kisses him, the sign so that he could be arrested. There's terrible irony in it, isn't there? The kiss that takes him to the cross. Jesus was betrayed by his close companion. Have you been betrayed or let down by someone you loved? A close friend? A family member? If you have, Jesus has empathy for your experience. He's been there too. But Jesus doesn't command his followers to fight in his defense. Am I leading a rebellion that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Jesus is ready to walk in God's will for him, even to the horror of the cross. But it's not the same for his disciples. Have a look at verse 50 with me. Everyone deserted him and fled. And in his disciples, we recognize ourselves. If you'd been there, would it have been any different? Would you have stood by Jesus? Would I have done any different? Sadly, I doubt it.
Accused. Jesus' first trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin. Verses 53 to 65, page 1021. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There, he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, "I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another, not made with hands." Yet, even then, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophecy!" And the guards took him and beat him.
Our next reading is from Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Sentenced. Jesus' second trial before Pontius Pilate. The Jerusalem crowd condemns Jesus. And this can be found on page 1022 of our church Bibles. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate released instead of, have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
A few days before, the crowd had shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now in front of Pontius Pilate's judgment seat, the crowd called a different shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." We do not need to assume that this was the same crowd of people who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. This is the crowd led by the Jewish establishment, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, those on the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling body. The difference between the Palm Sunday shout and the Good Friday shout shows how deeply Jesus divided public opinion in Jewish society. One group wanted him to be their king, the other group wanted him dead. What do you want? Do you want to live with Jesus as the king of your life? Or do you want him out of the picture so that you can get on with things the way you want them? Jesus' behavior at the two trials is remarkable. In response to his accusers, he makes next to no defense of himself. And this fits with Jesus' understanding that his death was necessary for a greater good. When the high priest asked him directly, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus does give a reply. It's recorded in chapter 14, verse 62. "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus is quoting a prophecy from the Old Testament book of Daniel, given hundreds of years before. A prophecy about a mysterious figure called the Son of Man. He appears before God's throne and is given power and authority to rule. Jesus, in this moment, declares that he considers himself to be the Son of Man from that prophecy in the book of Daniel. For the chief priest, this is all that's needed to show that Jesus is a blasphemer worthy of death. But what do you think of Jesus? If you'd been at those two trials, what would your conclusion have been? And today, do you see his death as a way of salvation for yourself and for the world? Or is he someone that we can just leave behind in history? What do you think? Who do you think Jesus is, and what's your view of him? Pilate has Jesus flogged and handed over to the soldiers.
Our next reading continues in Mark chapter 15, verses 16 to 20, on page 1022 in the Church Bibles. Ridiculed, Jesus is bullied by the Roman soldiers. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.